Hello, everybody. Welcome to Two Guys, Five Movies. This is one of your co-hosts, Chris Gasper.
This is Frank Pellicone.
You are listening to episode 119 of The Spin Chagrin. And last week's category is I Got You. So, Frank, before we get into how you define this category or anything like that, this is one of the common Frankisms that comes up pretty often in your normal life, but you also tend to use it a lot towards the end of the Spin Chagrin when you get a category, and often you'll say, like, you know, like,
I do say it a lot in real life too.
You do, but you made the claim over text this past week that when you say I got you, you don't really got it. Got the person. Do you remember making this claim?
It depends on how it's being used.
Exactly.
I wasn't thinking of it in like when I say it at work, I genuinely mean like,
right.
Don't worry, I will take care of the thing that you need me to take care of, or you are failing to take care of yourself, you incompetent shit. Depending on the tone of the I got you. It also can be vaguely threatening,
mm-hmm.
in the sense of like, oh yeah, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
When it's like,
I've heard that too.
I really should have red carded you this week in hindsight. Like that. That would be like, oh, I got you. I got you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't know. It's just that it's a nice, like, versatile phrase.
Right. That can mean anything you want it to mean.
Right. Tone and inflection are important, and mm-hmm. intent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whether true or inferred.
Right. So what did you come up with for I got you?
So I had this initial idea, because I didn't really know, like, there's so many things you could do. I thought maybe I'll do a kidnapping movie, or I'll do a possession movie. So there was a horror movie I wanted to watch anyway, so I watched that, and then I was going to watch a couple others. It was just like a vague idea of doing like three or four movies, but let me tell you, I found this fucking movie on Tubi, and we'll talk about the other movies I watched this week, but I was like, this is it. Like, this is... What did I text you that I feel like this is, like, one of the true hidden gems of the Spin Chagrin in a lot of ways?
Yeah.
It's, like, one of the most chagriniest of chagrin movies.
Mm.
It's got a lot of elements that tie it to other chagrins. In particular, it's produced by Charles Band, which sort of, like, brings in with all those other Full Moon videos, although this is not a Full Moon video. This is, like, pre-Full Moon video.
Okay. So,
let's just
on right in. I'm excited to hear what this movie is.
So we are going to talk about 1987's Robot Holocaust, produced by Charles Band, directed by a guy named Tim Kincaid, who I didn't bother to look up, so he may have, like, honestly directed some other chagrin movies. Stars some people that you've never heard of and don't have entries on the Wikipedia.
Mm.
On the Wikipedia, you know, as opposed to like a Wikipedia.
Right.
First of all, let me say that when I saw Robot Holocaust, I got the title, because I've never heard of this movie before, and I'd never seen anything from this movie. This is a completely, like, unknown first watch movie for me. Which is pretty surprising considering the genre, which is post-apocalyptic sci-fi barbarism, maybe? I don't know. And considering it's Charles Band, because I love Charles Band. So, but I also, like, was thinking, like, you know, Cannibal Holocaust, Zombie Holocaust, all the Holocaust movies from, like, the 80s. That are all, like, generally, like, really graphic, like, sleaze fests. So that was kind of exciting to me as well. So let's talk about some robot holocausts, right? Mm-hmm. So the robot holocaust is legitimately named because there was literally a robot holocaust in 2033. where robots rose up against their human masters, led by the Dark One, who is a, I don't know, dome attached to a, like, pressure board for a steel mill or something. I don't know. We'll get to that.
This all feels like it could actually happen by 2033, so.
Oh, yeah. With the rise of AI, you never know. But if this is what robots do with their AI, then fuck them. Like, they don't even deserve it. So, it's 2033, and all of humanity, for the most part, lives in a single steel mill, like abandoned steel mill.
Okay.
And are thralls to the Dark One, who, like I said, is a, yeah, like one of those security domes that you see in Walmart or whatever. He is attended by a voluptuous half-naked woman named Valaria. They refer to all humans as air slaves because they require air to breathe. Peons, unlike these mighty robots. The thing is, there's some humans that don't require air to breathe.
Oh.
Or they could breathe air without, like, assistance. There's something in the air, I can't remember how it's explained, that makes the humans not be able to breathe in a, like, the robots can restrict it or whatever. The Dark One can, like, turn the air off. But there's certain people who can breathe it no matter what. And one of these people is Neo, who is basically a Michael Hutchins circa, like, 1983. So, like, wavy, greasy hair, thin, vaguely Australian looking. And his robot sidekick, Clayton, who's a dude in a rubber suit. Every robot in this movie, they didn't even make any pretense to make any kind of, like, metal costumes. They're all just, like, rubber costumes. So Clayton is this, is Neo's servant, I guess. And he's basically, like, a hip-hop C-3PO, I guess. I don't know. He's not, like, rapping or anything, but they try and make him a little cooler than C-3PO, but he still is, like, this bumbling nincompoop of a robot. So, what the Dark One has done with his immense power and control of the entire human race is he makes him get half naked and fight gladiator battles for his amusement. And the idea is that whoever wins the gladiator battle gets to go into the ultimate reward, but the ultimate reward is death, because they use the corpses of the humans to help to feed, like, the electricity that runs all the robots.
Okay.
But nobody knows that, because when you go to the promised land, you don't ever, like, come back. So everyone just assumes that it's, like, a good thing. So that's what the Dark One and Valaria tell them. They also have another robot. I believe his name is Corla or something. I don't know. He looks like a cross between Zoidberg and, like, a Predator. I guess they had some kind of, like, cephalopod monster head that they got out of Fangoria or whatever. And they were like, fuck it, we'll just use this as a costume. I don't know what that robot's name is. They say it, like, 100 times, but I've forgotten at this point because it's been, like, a day since I watched this movie. And I didn't write anything down, of course. And I'm looking at these names and I can't figure out who was who. So let's just say that it's Corla. Although it might be Torg. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So they also have exactly two robot guards. So basically the Dark One's forces are a half-naked woman, two robot guards, Zoidberg, and the Dark One himself.
Okay.
So
can you describe the Dark One to me again so I can get a better visualization on this?
It's a Walmart security ball that's mounted to an old, I think it's like a hydraulic press in a steel mill, because it's got, like, gauges and stuff and knobs.
Okay.
It looks like a hydraulic press or something that has, like, some sort of hydraulic pressure to it.
Okay.
Don't write your shit down. Just listen.
No. I'm not writing anything down. I was sitting here. Did you look at me? I'm sitting here trying to visualize.
No, I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at these names because I can't remember anybody's name, and I'm trying to set the scene. So there's also a woman named Deja, and her dad, who is Jorn, I think. Yeah, Jorn. And Jorn has invented a way that humans can breathe without the assistance of the Dark One's air chemicals or whatever. I don't know.
Okay.
So, sorry, I'm congested today. What's decided is that Neo and Deja are going to go into the wasteland to go to the power plant, to destroy the power plant, to usurp the power of the Dark One, and they'll use Jorn's invention or whatever to help people breathe and people will be free again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, mind you, all the gladiator battles are taking in place. I swear to God, this is like one of my favorite tropes that Charles Band and other like low budget directors from this era use, is they find like an abandoned warehouse and they film everything in like the same setting, like the same like actual like physical setting, just from different angles and moving some shit around. Cause that's what this is. It's like, I don't know, it's all the same shit.
Right.
So Neo and Deja and Clayton, they go out into the wasteland and they're joined by two other guys that need like Jorn's rebreathers or whatever to like walk, but they can wear them. Basically, they're just wearing like Conan the Barbarian costumes mixed with like some Mad Max thrown in.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like half naked, like wearing like furs, but with like football pads on the shoulders. I don't know, it's ridiculous costumes. So they go out into the wastelands, they're going to go save humanity. And they find this guy that's like, fuck, how did I describe him in my head? He's like a poor man's Fabio, kind of. Like, he's just this, like, half-naked dude in a loincloth.
Mm-hmm.
It's like cut-rate He-Man, sort of, like, tied to a tree. And you find out that this is, like, the land of these Amazonian women who don't need no men. And who only like take men to breed, even though all the men are in the underground. But I guess every once in a while there's a man that's like not in the underground and they take him.
Okay.
And they cut out his tongue and they fuck him until he impregnates somebody and then they kill him.
Mm.
Instead of like understanding that like sperm is regenerative and they could probably just like do this multiple times. It's like once he's impregnated somebody, you're done. Like can't have, although I guess like from an inbreeding standpoint that kind of makes sense, because you wouldn't want like the same like, you know,
right,
progenitor for like all your kids or whatever.
But right, and the man is unsafe, so it makes sense to kill him to so he's not around to,
yeah,
do anything. So
he's got his tongue out, what's he gonna do? And he's tied up to a tree, like, you know, tie or whatever is tied up to a tree. But it doesn't matter, because Neo is like the leader of these people is Nyla, and she's kind of like a Red Sonja-esque character. So she's like, also everybody's clad in like fur, even though there's like no animals or anything, since the post-apocalypse,
right?
But they all found fur somewhere. So Neo's like, well, if we can beat you in single combat, will you help us get to the wasteland? Because they're like, oh, we're gonna kill you. And she's like, yeah, sure. So Neo's like, even though Neo's supposed to be like this great warrior, Neo makes one of the dudes that's with him go fight her.
Mm-hmm.
So he ends up beating her. And she has to then like lead him because she owes him their life now. So she's got to lead him through the wasteland. So at this point, Valeria, you find out of these two key components of the Dark One's, like, arsenal. And one of them is the pleasure room, and one of them is the room of questions. So the pleasure room involves Valeria taking off her top and doing this really awkward, like, hula dance inside a cage. Did you ever have Manglores when you were a kid? This is like a really obscure reference.
No, I don't think
there was a toy called Manglores. The Manglores gimmick was supposedly that they were made of rubber and you could rip them apart and then stick them back together.
Okay.
But in reality, that didn't work. So Manglores were like a really shitty toy that you could play with once and then never play with again. But the Manglores had this playset that was like a volcano with a plastic cage on the top of it. And you would like put the Manglores into it, and supposedly that's where they regenerated. This is really convoluted way to explain what's happening when I could just say it's like a go-go cage, because that's really what it is. So she gets into the room of pleasure, and then there's two naked people standing outside also shimmying and dancing. And that somehow is like conferring pleasure to her or whatever. I don't know.
Okay.
Is this the only nudity in the movie? There ain't a whole lot of nudity in this movie, but it's here is when it happens.
Do you suspect she's getting pleasure from them dancing, or is there some kind of transference that's going on inside of the...
Indeterminate, you know, it's not very clear what's happening.
Okay.
The lights change and there's some mist, so I'm assuming, I don't know, who fucking knows?
Yeah.
So anyway, so the Dark One's like, hey, you're using the room of pleasure and you didn't do nothing to earn the room of pleasure. You can't just use it for pleasure. And she's like, oh, my bad, Dark One. Like, I thought it was cool for me to get some pleasure because I'm your loyal servant. And he's like, don't do that again. You only get pleasure when I tell you you need pleasure. So they find out, they kidnap Jorn because they find out that his daughter and Neo are the ones that are like going across the wasteland to try and stop his plans. So they're going to take Jorn to the Room of Answers. And the Room of Answers is not like the Room of Questions. Do you remember that movie I watched a few months ago that was like pretty similar to this, where there was a prison planet and the dude was like a makeshift Han Solo? And
yes.
Yeah, so there was a scene in that where they hooked him up to just basically like an EKG and were torturing him. And that's what happens in the Room of Answers. But Jorn is tough, and you can't get any answers out of him. So his part for the rest of the movie is basically just to like not answer any questions that he's asked, and for everyone to be really ineffective around him.
Okay.
So, anywho. So that happens for a long time. I don't know. So Valeria keeps like assuring the Dark One that they're going to get Neo and Deja and stop them because they can see everything. So they go to this place where there's... Let me think the order of events here. So they get to this cave, and the cave is the cave of... What are they called? Bloodworms, maybe, or something like that. But it's like the Snake Mountain puppet coming out of the wall. Like, it's very clearly like someone's arm in like a sock puppet.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to get through it. So they're like, oh, how are we going to get through it? And it's basically the answer is, well, we're just going to walk. And somebody's going to get bitten, but that's cool because they won't die from it. And that's true. I seriously, like, if you can envision, like, Snake, the original Snake Mountain, and the rubber, like, snake puppet that was in it, do you know what I'm talking about?
That's
what's coming out of these walls.
Okay.
So they get through there, like, with little delay or whatever, little inconvenience. And they get to the other side, and they're on the side of this lake, and they're like, ah. We're going to get some water out of this lake. But then all of a sudden there's mutants, and the mutants were never previously referenced, nor do they really play any significant role in the movie, but they're here now. And so they get in a fight, and everybody's fighting the mutants, and they end up, like, cutting heads off some of the mutants, which is funny. And the mutants range from like hideously deformed to like a woman in a hijab or whatever. Because I guess that's like a mutant thing, is to be Muslim in 2033. So they get past the mutants pretty easy too. And now they're at the power plant. And the power plant has this chest burster alien. Oh, and at some point one of the dudes dies, one of the companion dudes. So they get to this power plant, and mind you, Neo ain't really doing shit like this entire time. Like, he's not really living up to his billing as like the toughest guy in the wasteland. Mm-hmm. His only power is that somehow he can breathe air unassisted. So basically he's a normal human in 2024. So I guess like there's somebody who's, I don't know, how old I say is like 30. So there's somebody who's in his early 20s now that can breathe. That's going to be like Neo in 9 years when this happens. Anyway, so they get to the power plant, and there's this chest burster alien. I can't remember what they call it, but some stupid name. And it kills one of the guys, but then they kill it. So all of a sudden, when they're in the power plant, they're now back where the Dark One is. So I'm not sure if I just misunderstood the beginning of this movie, or if they misunderstood like their entire like through line of the movie, but they're now back at the beginning, and all they have to do is open a door and get past this wall, which they do. So then they're fighting the minions of the Dark One, who are basically, like I said, two robots and Zoidberg. And the two robots have blades on their arms, and they spin around, and that's like really confusing to people. So there's a fight that happens, like where they're like deflecting these blades, and then Neo keeps fighting with Zoidberg, who's like super strong. But Neo climbs up on top of like old machinery and crouches down, so then Zoidberg can't see him because I guess he can't look up. And then Neo, like, launches a really ineffective attack that Zoidberg immediately repels. And then Neo, like, runs away and hides on top of a machine again. So that happens a few times. Until finally he gets the better of him and, like, hits him with his sword.
Okay.
Also, in between all this, the Dark One's gotten pissed off with Valeria. Because every time she sends somebody to stop Neo and Deja, they fail utterly. So he has sparks shoot out of one of the machines and hit her in the face. And you find out that she was really a robot all along, because she's got like, instead of like, her skin doesn't get flayed off. I mean, that's like what the implication is. But really, they just put a bunch of rubber over her face to make her look like robotic, kind of like all the other robots.
Mm-hmm.
So that also begs the question, like, how is she feeling pleasure from the pleasure room? If she's actually a robot,
because right,
she was the one that was writhing about in the fucking
maybe that's all like the lights changing and stuff, and everything is part of like what gives pleasure to the robot.
Maybe standing in that Mangler cage, like getting off with your dancing or whatever. I don't know. Maybe that's actually an illustration of how they don't know what pleasure is, because there's nothing pleasurable about anything that she was doing. So she betrays the Dark One, then she doesn't betray the Dark One. Then you find out that Jorn, because he wouldn't answer any questions in the room of questioning, got put into an egg pod from aliens, kinda.
Okay.
So it's just his head sticking out, but now he's melded with the Dark One, and the Dark One's taken all of his knowledge. But all they have to do is shoot him, and so they do, and he dies. And then they turn off the Dark One, and like that's the end of that. Like, they end up defeating all of his forces like pretty easily, I would say.
Didn't sound like he had much forces then in the first place.
They got like six, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, if you count the mutants, there's another like four. Although, who knows who they're working for, because they're always just, like, randomly attacking people ineffectively. And then there's the cave worm things or whatever. And then the chest burster, which also died pretty easily, too. So, I don't know. It's a really ineffective post-apocalypse. You know, there ain't much going on. So Neo wants Deja to come with him back because now they've saved everybody and everybody can breathe air. The air slaves are freed. But Deja's like, nah, I gotta stay here and continue my father's work. Even though what's left to continue now that like everybody's like freed from the Dark One's clutches.
Mm-hmm.
So Neo and his robot walk off into the like the distance, and the robot's like, oh, Master, can I come with you? I want to hang out with you, Master. Like, this is the start of a beautiful friendship. And they just like wander off into the woods. And that's Robot Holocaust.
That sounds like a complete and utter disaster of a movie.
Oh my god, it's amazing though.
I've been like watching clips from it like in the background to kind of get like a sense, and man, it's something.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? Did you see Zoidberg?
Which one's Zoidberg again? He's
Zoidberg, there's a red robot that's like the boss robot for the Dark One.
Right.
But he's only the boss of two other robots, and there's Valeria, who you think is a person, but she's also a robot.
So yes, I did then. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's my question is, as I like kind of like is going through stuff, and you didn't really talk about the characters, Hip-Hop C-3PO.
Uh-huh.
He seems to be in a lot of scenes. What's going on there?
He's the secondary character, man. He's the sidekick. He's Neo's like number one guy. But here's the thing with him is that he's actually more effective in terms of like advancing the plot than Neo, because Neo usually has people fight for him, and when he does get in fights, he tends to get like bested really easily. So again, this is a guy whose entire like power base relies on I can breathe. Which right now, like, I envy him because I'm fucking struggling. But you know, I'm not also like a great leader of men in the post-apocalyptic future of 9 years from now.
Right.
So yeah.
So
but yeah, Clayton has a gun that can kill like anything with one shot, but he always fucks up using like it is, I don't even understand like what it is really. It's like a electric razor or something, I guess. But he's often like the one that's like defeating the enemy. And everybody has swords, which is something that like usually I find really cool about post-apocalyptic movies, but it makes no sense here. Like why everyone has,
right.
Like how are these swords like still in good shape? Are they making new swords, or are these swords all just from ancient times and they happen to be really well preserved?
Right,
because I mean, they're in a fucking steel mill, so maybe they're casting swords or something. I don't know.
Like, I don't understand the aesthetic of this post-world apocalypse, like, at all. Mm. Like,
post-world apocalypse, that's...
Oh, like, post-apocalyptic world. Like, I haven't even touched my drink yet. So, I'm, like, looking at scenes, it's like there's these skyscrapers in the background. I can't tell if it's a matte painting or not, but it's like they're standing on, like, this, like, grassy... like, you know, like grassy, like little knoll, like overlooking something. And it's like, there's these skyscrapers, but it's like, they're all dressed like it's like you said, like Conan.
Yes.
But there's robots. Like none of it makes any sense to me just looking at it visually.
But the robots are made of rubber.
Like, I just don't get any of this. Like there's like, things have evolved and devolved at the same time, but the things that have done that don't jive.
Right. Well, nothing's really evolved. Some things have mutated. Number one, people. Number two, worms. Number three,
well, you got robots people. Getting pleasure in the, in the steel mill.
I mean, that's really just a red herring for you to like for them to give you the twist. She was a robot all along, but like. No one cares about plot or narrative in this movie or like cohesion, so it doesn't really matter that she was a robot, because it's just a scene for the Dark One to betray her and then for her to still like go back to him. So
is Clayton carrying a purse or is it like a jack sack?
I mean, I don't know if people understand what jack sack is, and you're saying that for my benefit, but yes, it's a like a traveler's or like a courier's like thing or whatever. Courier bag.
I think anybody that listens to this probably knows what a jack sack is. They got to. Yeah, I think so. I don't think we're like getting any like 20-year-olds like listening, like, and that wouldn't know what a jack sack is. But if you're not familiar, the jack sack is like the way it was referred to the bag that Jack Bauer carried around on the show 24. which, like Frank said, is a courier bag.
Yes, he's carrying that, but there's nothing in it except maybe the gun is in it. I don't know.
Well, because I just like when I see these scenes, like brief scenes with him, it's like either sometimes it looks like it's hanging from his shoulder, and sometimes it looks like he's like it's dangling from his arm like a purse. And I can't make any sense out of that either. And like he's a robot. Robots need to carry stuff too.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he's a servant.
And he has like a some sort of like clothing to him, like a shroud, like kind of thing. I don't understand any of this, man.
There's nothing to understand.
Okay.
What other questions you got? They have a self-destruct timer that Valeria triggers because the Dark One made her mad. And the Dark One can't turn it off. So this all-powerful robot, who's like the leader of the world, all you have to do basically is like set this dial, and he's helpless. Like that's just the end of him. So,
do you think this was like written like on the fly?
I think like a lot of Charles Band stuff. I don't think there was a huge amount of forethought put into it.
Right, like not like a script or anything like that, like where there is, but it's like you got to like change up like as you're going along just based on your circumstances.
Yeah, like, or I think they filmed stuff out of order and then they just like edited it together, so
it just feels like this hodgepodge of like so many things that don't
it's hodgepodgey
relate.
I think that they found that they could film in this abandoned steel mill and they kind of marked out to it and they just did what they could to like set as many scenes in this, because there's this, I don't know what kind of machine it is. There's a Worthington like hydraulic press. And then there's a, I can't remember the name of the other manufacturer. But people that like, I kind of recognize from my time in the steel industry. And they basically, every single scene is set between these two pieces of equipment, which also doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And then the Mangler go-go cage, and there's like a pond and some rocks, and then they're back in the same place? Really?
Right.
And there's like a set of stairs that they film from a couple of different angles, and sometimes they're in front of the stairs and sometimes they're underneath it, and I guess that's indicative of where they are, that you're supposed to like be like, oh right, they're, you know, in this place.
So is there anything enjoyable about this? Because
it's immensely enjoyable.
Okay.
I mean, it's no good, but
right,
it's also really fun.
Right. Okay.
I wish I would have written down more dialogue. Let me see if I took notes. I don't think I took any notes. No, yeah, my last note is, I'm Apple Bob, I'm a bum.
Yeah.
So, that's whatever that movie was last week.
Right.
The Tunnels movie, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Convenient Tunnels.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny movie. It's enjoyable, it's fun. It goes by pretty fast, I think.
Yeah.
It's just like, there's nothing good about it, really.
Well, it's only an hour 19, so.
Oh, I thought it was like an hour and a half. Although I guess it's not really that much different.
Yeah, it's available on YouTube, so
it's on Tubi.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to get the Tubi experience. You got to watch it with commercials and shit. I guarantee that transfer on Tubi is better than the transfer.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I just, when I Googled it and had the Google page up, it just was there. Like, I normally just watch trailers to get a sense, but then, like, I found one that was actually the movie, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, so.
What's the screen score?
I don't know if I can, I don't know, it's hard. Because on one hand.
Is this like a not rated, like, type thing? Like,
nah, yeah, I'm going to give it a 5. Because I really enjoyed it, but it was also super terrible, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Your mileage may vary, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah, that's going to be a fucking category sometime, too, because I say that shit all the time. I got to watch the things that I say over and over so you can't use them against me.
Mm. We got a lot of them already. It's fine.
Yeah, I know.
And I only have 2 so far from tonight, so.
Oh, that's a shame.
I mean, I'm sure there's more, but there's 2 that stood out to me.
So then I watched 3 other movies.
Right.
And so
okay, can you tell me again, how does this fit in? I got you again.
Oh, because Neo has Clayton. He's got him. It's his. He's always got his back, Clayton, his robot slave.
Okay, all right. Servant.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to talk about fucking Robot Holocaust and kiss my ass. I was going to find any way to fit that shit in, because that movie's amazing.
So what are these other movies that you watched to see if you could fit into I Got You?
So the first movie I watched is a movie I've wanted to watch for a couple months since I saw the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Infested.
Okay.
It's a French horror movie about this breed of spider that every time it molts, it gets increasingly larger, like, and has babies.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts out as like a normal, like, small size spider, and eventually becomes like car size spiders.
Okay.
I love spider movies, so I really wanted to see it.
Like Arachnophobia.
Yeah, Arachnophobia. What is that movie called? Forest of the Spiders or Spider Forest or whatever. There's a couple. What is that other big spider movie? It's not Phase 10. It's Kingdom of the Spiders.
Mm. Are you scared of spiders?
No.
Oh, okay.
Centipedes only, and there's no centipede horror movies that I've ever seen. So.
Mm. Okay.
This movie was. It suffers from one of your biggest horror complaints, which is that it's trying too hard to build characters, which in the end is a successful tactic because you. Like, I like the characters in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it makes the movie go on for. It feels like it goes on for way too long because they spend so much time, like, building these characters up. So.
Right.
But it's about this kid who, young man who lives with his sister because their mother passed away and the sister wants to sell their apartment. He doesn't want to sell. And they live in this, like, it's almost like a tenement house where it's all these, like, poor people that live together. And some people think that he's a drug dealer, but really he sells sneakers. That's, like, his goal is to become, like, this, like, shoe flipper. And he also collects exotic animals. And so one of the things that he buys is this spider that ends up being this awful, like, mutant spider kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of really cool scenes with, like, people being, like, wrapped in cocoons, and the CGI is pretty decent on the spiders. Anyway, so I enjoyed it, but it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. But it was because it's an infestation. That's what the building's got. It's got you, and you is the infestation. That was going to be my tie into it, just so I could talk about it, but
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Real quick, it's going backwards here. You did not look up Tim Kincaid, the director of?
No, I just did. I wish I had not. alter ego of a guy named Joe Gage, and Joe Gage was a hardcore pornography director. So.
Yes, and some of the non-Joe Gage titled movies are Armed Forces Physical, Dad Gets Into Trouble, Caught in the Act, Dad Out West. What are these? Hold on. I lost it. What is... There is something that is like, oh my God, Lunchtime Milking Club 2.0. What the fuck is that?
Listen, this... We don't need to talk about this anymore. This is not the intent of the Spin Chagrin.
Oh, there it is. Men's Room 3, Ozark Mountain Exit 8. That's the title. 2008. That's before Ozark came out.
Well, the Ozark Mountains existed before.
I understand, but I'm saying it's like, who talked about the Ozark Mountains? Like, you know,
I guess Joe Gage knew something you didn't. So
I guess so.
Tim Kincaid directed a movie called Mutant Hunt that I also enjoyed that almost made a Spin Chagrin once, but it didn't fit, and I just watched it anyway because I can't help myself. I just watch movies. Can we get back to my shit anyway? So uh-huh. I'm trying to derail with your hardcore gay pornography. So that was infested. So then I watched this movie on Shudder that I've been putting off watching for a while called Vampire, V-A-M-P-I-R, which I actually thought was pretty good. Like, it was better than just good, but it wasn't great. It's about this American guy who is wants to get away from the Americas because he witnessed this crime. And he's afraid that the people that committed the crime will do something to him. So he's of Serbian descent. So he takes this job in Serbia as a graveyard attendant, basically. Like, he gets a place to live, and he's got to keep the tombstones clean and make sure the graveyard is, like, well-kept. But it turns out that the town is infested with vampires. And so it's kind of really, like, surreal and dreamy at first, and then it gets, like, horrific. Until finally they turn him into a vampire. I really enjoyed it. It reminded me of... Do you remember... what was that movie called? Monster Club? That I made you watch?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You remember the scene or the episode of Monster Club? Because Monster Club's an anthology.
Yeah.
Where it's in the town. And the town is, like, infested with ghouls or whatever.
Yep, that's the best segment out of all of it, I thought.
Yeah, it's an amazing segment. So that's basically what this movie is that he's stuck in this town in Serbia, and everybody's weird. And it actually kind of reminded me of Calvary, too, in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't escape, and he keeps having these crazy dreams where, like, an increasing number of people in the town are, like, harassing him, and you should watch it. It's got some really good imagery in it. But then I was thinking, like, that one would be the I Got You would be the town's got him, like, he's the you, and he's stuck in the town because they're trying to turn him into a vampire or whatever.
Okay.
And
hold on, I mean, what's the name of it again?
It's V-A-M-P-I-R. Vampire.
P-I. Okay. All right.
Maybe Vampire? Vampire? I don't know.
Yeah, I got it now. I got it. All right.
So then, tonight, this movie wasn't for the Spin Chagrin, because I'd already watched Robot Holocaust and decided that was what I'm going to dedicate my life to, is being an expert on Robot Holocaust. So I watched a movie called Conference. Conference, I guess. It's a Swiss, Swedish, Norwegian movie, whatever. One of those fucking Nordic countries. Similar to the movie Severance, it's about a group of people who work for a company. They're on a corporate retreat, and they're stalked by a killer. And they're there to promote the building of an IKEA. So they've brought this costume called Soltis or whatever, who's like a Bob's big boy looking thing. And the killer ends up stealing that costume and murdering people in it. So it's fun. It's got some funny stuff. It's got some really brutal kills to it. It's another one that builds like character, but it doesn't delay in like murdering people, which I really appreciate. But it's on Netflix. It's worth watching. Again, it wasn't something that I really watched for the Spin Chagrin, but since I watched it today and there's no other place it's going to fit in, might as well talk about it now. So, but I would recommend it.
Okay.
It's only an hour and a half long, so if you have an hour and a half to kill, it's worth your time.
Okay. I got a challenge for you real quick. Top five challenge. Since we're never going to do a top five episode ever again.
Bye.
Top five, like, workplace horror movies.
Does something like Chopping Mall count? Because the mall is kind of a workplace. Even though nobody... I don't know. I can't remember if any of them work in the mall or not.
I think
that's more about the setting. Curious. Oh man, what was that movie called that we watched in the grocery store that's closing?
Oh yeah, right. Yeah,
that one. New Year's Evil is on that list.
I mean, there's things like I'm wondering, like, you know, like it's an interesting thing of like how you're thinking about it. Cause yeah, like that it's like the plot revolves around the place in which they work. Like, so does The Thing count? Like, just as an example,
yeah, sure.
Like that's their workplace, right? Like,
I would think more of like a traditional work, the idea of a traditional workplace.
Right. Gotcha. So like not delving into like Alien technically is like a workplace horror and workplace, right? Like
those The Abyss or Leviathan or whatever.
Right.
I mean, but like Barbarian Sound Studio, whatever, I would consider a workplace horror movie because he's at work, you know, he's
right.
doing his job.
What about so the White House?
Yeah, that's a good one. Although that's more of a non-traditional workplace too. Although I guess
sure,
a sound recording studio is
right. Is also place. Right, and that's where it gets difficult. I guess yeah. Interesting. Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Oh yeah, that's a really good choice. Yeah.
Still figure out a way to talk about that someday.
I mean, really, you could do Return of the Living Dead because the majority of it takes place in the funeral home and the
true
medical warehouse or whatever. I don't know. I'll think about it.
Yeah.
There's a couple movies that, like Rabbit or whatever, that Cronenberg movie that mostly takes place in the hospital. You could consider that one.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to think about it more.
Right.
I mean, I think there's more than five there that we just said, so.
Yeah, sure.
A decent enough list.
Yeah.
And if you really get clever with it, you could make it almost anything, really.
Sure. Yeah.
Like you could say The Toolbox Murders is a workplace murder movie because the guy doing the killing is the handyman at the
right. Right. Yeah.
At the apartment complex.
Might be too broad. Yeah. All right. You want to see what you get next week?
Oh yeah. I'm all super right. super stoked.
Let's see. What's up? Should ready. Man, why are they changing shit around over here again? That's the one thing. This they change too much on Zoom too
who's,
often.
Who's they? Oh, okay.
All right.
Oh, I can't see it.
You can't see it. One out of 10 chagrin. The category is 1 out of 10 chagrin.
Well, let me ask you this question before I do this.
Uh-huh.
this is a possibly failable category unless I break my own rules.
Explain.
Well, how would I know something's a 1 out of 10 until I watch it?
You don't. You don't. Like, your goal is to aim in your pursuit for what you think could possibly be a 1 out of 10 chagrin. Doesn't mean that you'll actually find the 1 out of 10 chagrin, but you aim for the thing you think will be a 1 out of 10 chagrin.
That's what I mean. I might fail.
You might
watch a 1 out of 10.
It doesn't matter. You're still going to give a chagrin score based on it.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
But the goal, this is goal oriented rather than, like, you know, outcome oriented.
Yeah. Goal oriented versus task oriented versus torture oriented, I guess.
Right.
This is the nice category yet.
Yes. Yes.
This is me at my most forgiving, or whatever that fucking line is.
I mean, honestly, it's me at my most forgiving.
Oh, I know. I'm quoting whatever.
I
know. What movie is that?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Damn, it's right on the tip.
Does not ring bells. Delete.
This is me at my most something. What is that line? I don't remember. It doesn't matter, I guess. Yeah, that's cool. 1 out of 10 chagrin. I'll do my best.
So yeah, you get to you get to watch some stuff you might like. You do anyway, to some degree. I mean, but you're watching, like, D movies.
Sometimes Z movies.
Right. Never X movies.
I thought you were going to get me to do one once, but I avoided it.
If you are trying to become, like, a robot Holocaust expert, wouldn't you have to become an expert on Tim Kincaid?
No, I only have to become an expert on Robot Holocaust and Robot Holocaust alone. Thank you very much. Which just means I have to watch it, like, 3 or 4 more times, and I'll have it, like, basically down.
I did see, like, one segment of him, like, hiding up on top of the machines. Like,
yeah.
And it's terrible. It's awful. Because, like, I picture it in my head like a video game, you know? It's like some kind of, like, almost like, because you have to do that dumb shit in video games all the time, right? Like, where it's like you end up, like, you know, having to cause a distraction and then jump up on something and hide and then, like, jump back down and, like, you know, get some hits in and then do the same thing. So that's what I was picturing. And it's like 4 feet separating.
Right. And in the video game, you can, like, jump down and do, like, an effective attack.
Right.
Here, like, fucking Zoidberg just, like, bashes him aside until he, like, runs away and climbs on top of the machine again. It's a ridiculous point. I swear to God, Neo is just, like, the dude that can breathe in a land of unbreathers.
Air slaves.
Except for Deja and Jorn, who both can breathe.
Hmm.
And all the barbarian women who all can breathe as well. So Neo is just, like, roundly useless.
I'm going to end up having to watch this fucking movie at some point. Like, probably.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. Like, yeah. I saw it, and it's like, I'm going to have to end up, for one reason or another, end up having to watch this movie. It looks god-awful. I'm sure it's funny. Like, and could be, you know, in terms of, like, laughing at and stuff like that. But, man, it looks really bad. Are you responding to Native American Bret Hart?
No, I just sent Orion to text that says Robot Holocaust.
Okay, because you were going to tell him what movie he needs to watch.
Yeah, I told him I'd tell him during the podcast, so I still fulfilled my promise at this point. I mean, how does he know?
Oh, you know what? That's the ultimate. I got you.
I did. I got him.
Yep. There you go. Because I think
he's really going to enjoy this movie.
Yep. There you go.
And then he's going to send me text like, oh, why didn't you talk about this? Because he'll send it while he's watching the movie as opposed to, like,
yes,
many hours and 2 other movies later.
So,
plus one for YouTube.
You know what? It was in a roundabout way, but I think you actually fulfilled the category.
I definitely fulfill the category.
No, I think just by that act alone, you fulfilled the category. Oh. I don't think anything about those movies fulfilled the category whatsoever. But I think you brought it back around. I think by being a good friend at the end, you know, and fulfilling like you know what you said you would do, you fulfilled the category.
I'm proud of myself.
You should. You should be.
Oh, I wish I could breathe. Where's Neo when you need
him? I know, right? Fucking
you know what you should do?
Air slave.
I am an air slave. Watch Neo like jump around and make his like sucked in cheek faces, and watch the Don't Change video from NXS, and watch like an Adamant video, and think of those two dudes. Basically, like the but now John Gage probably get all like excited about this.
Knowing that about Kincaid, do you see anything in this movie that no,
absolutely not. There is no, there's really, I mean, aside from the nudity in that one brief part with the Mangalore cage. There's no eroticism in this movie at all.
No, there's no male gaze.
No
thing going on, like
in not even a little bit.
Okay,
they're just trying to survive, man. They're in the wasteland.
Yes,
that's like right. 15 feet wide and
right
has hand puppet worms. You should look at that scene too. Those things are ridiculous. Like they're supposed to be biting the one guy, but you can tell that it's just rubber because the whole thing just like compresses. Nice. Like you can basically see the person's hand just like inside it. It's fantastic.
Nice. Like I said, I'm sure I'll end up seeing it someday. Okay. All right. So next week we will be back with a 1 out of 10 chagrin and see what Frank has for us. So
second to last post pre Thailand spin chagrin.
Yes. Second to last. Yeah,
second to last because I'll do one next week and one the week.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
That's the week that
so,
I go.
So in Harry Knowles terms, anti pen. This is the anti pen ultimate, right?
It is.
Right. Pre-Thailand.
Except then they will do a couple when I'm in Thailand and
right
many many more when I come back from Thailand, I assume.
Yes. Yes, many more. It never ends. The chagrin's always there.
Nothing happens. 1 out of 10.
Yes, 1 out of 10. Have a good week, everybody.
Deuces.
Hope you breathe, Frank.